Let's talk TV. Caitlin Cherry is here. Hello.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
And to you.
I've been following your Instagram. Looks like you've been having a very nice holiday.
I have had a couple of wee holidays and with some work in between. I am curious, though, about your discussion on acting that's coming up. Did you ever decide you want, you know, lots of us decided we wanted to be actors when we were like 12. Did you, Jessie Mulligan?
Yeah, I auditioned. I actually just decided to do it partway through my law degree because I got an audition and did okay, and so I thought, oh, maybe this is me. But it became clear to me over the years that I'm a very poor actor. That it's not enough just to remember the lines and say them in a loud voice. You need to have more going on, which is why I was quite interested in this expert. How about you?
I decided I wanted to be an actor when I was at intermediate, well, probably at high school, and I did all these drama courses, and then I went to university and majored in theatre and film, and it was then that I realised it. Not only did I actually not enjoy it, but I was really quite dreadful.
Yeah, you can get so far at school, can't you? Because there's a limited pool of people who want to be in the production. As I say, if you talk in a loud voice, you can fool a few people. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty, I think it takes someone a bit special, really, or at least a bit of training.
I realise there is an X factor you have to have, and I think I should have read the signs when the role I got in the school production was Messenger 2. And that it was a co-ed school and I still had to play a man.
Great. Hey, how's the acting in You, the first TV show you're reviewing today on Netflix?
Yeah, You. Okay, so this is an American psychological thriller with some great acting from a great young cast. It's a thriller with a difference, the difference being that the main character and the protagonist, effectively, is a serial killer. So he's this good-looking bookseller called Joe Goldberg, and he becomes obsessed with one of his customers. He stalks her, finds out everything he can about her, in order to win her heart, because he's at heart also a romantic. He believes he can find the perfect woman and have the perfect relationship.
But, and stop killing people.
Yeah, and that he can be good. He just, that all his bad behaviour is required, a means to an end. So he clones his cell phone so that he can find out everything about her. He's always in the right place at the right time. And inevitably, because she is a human being, things don't go so well. So season one is set in New York. And that was on Netflix about a year ago. And season two recently came to Netflix as well. And in this season, he moves to LA. And he's created a new identity for himself. And he's now known as Will. And, I mean, you might question why anyone would want to watch a show and see the world from the perspective of a guy as terrible as this.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt, but this has been done before. It wasn't Dexter about a serial killer?
Well, he kills serial killers. So there's a Dexterish element to this, because he's quite complex. We do find out that he had a very abusive childhood himself, and he also uses his skills to help kids who are in difficult situations. So one in each series, he kind of ends up, like, he's not evil to children. He would never, he's the kind of person who wouldn't hurt a child. In fact, he goes out of his way to help them through quite dodgy means. But in one case, it's his neighbour in his apartment who's a lovely boy, then his mother's an addict and his stepfather is abusive. So he ends up dealing with that in his way.
Yeah. Are all the people who he terminates, are they all kind of unlikable?
No. That's another problem.
Yeah.
So it puts the viewer in a very awkward position because we side with him. We want the baddies to get their comeuppance, but we also see that he's manipulative and on this ridiculous quest for an ideal love, which is inevitably going to fail. What I enjoy, it's hard to explain because if you kind of pitched it as an idea, someone might just go, "Why? No, we're not going to make that. It's insane." But it's actually quite funny. Especially because he has this internal dialogue that we the viewer listen to, and he's quite funny and he quips and he has these great one-liners, and you're seeing the world from his quite perverse point of view, and it is refreshingly different. And there's some great new elements in season two because he is a New Yorker now living in the most hipster part of LA you could possibly imagine. So he's working in a Whole Foods store and he's surrounded by that sort of wellness revolution where people are talking about the shamans and opening their chakras and eating their moon, drinking their moon juices and things like that. So again, you're siding with him because you're just like, oh my God, they're all a bunch of whack jobs. So he's likeable. He wants to be loved, but he's ultimately evil.
Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy it?
I quite enjoy it, and I don't feel guilty, but some have argued that this is a show that makes his actions seem okay and is sort of perpetuating this idea of minimising violence against women. I don't see it in that way. I see it in as an honest portrayal of the fact that people who are bad to women can be incredibly charming and likeable as well.
Love it. Speaking of New Yorkers in LA, does anyone know if and where the new series of Curb Your Enthusiasm is being screened in New Zealand? It's on HBO in the States.
No, I do not know this, but I look forward to it very much.
Yeah. Caitlin had a bit of a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment in the summer holidays while playing Scrabble.
Oh, yes. Oh, God.
But unfortunately, we can't elaborate, really.
Let's just say the only word I could open with was not an appropriate word, and I was playing with the in-laws, who are relatively new to my life. And
some people would have said, well, I'll pass then. Yeah. But no, Caitlin took those four letters and placed them in the middle of the board because she wanted the points.
I did. And they weren't terrible points. Let's just say one of the letters was worth some points.
Okay,
the next show I want to talk about is His Dark Materials. That is on Neon, and it's a fantasy drama series based on the novels by Philip Pullman.
The very popular novels.
Incredibly popular. I don't love this series, I think mainly because it's incredibly complex. It assumes quite a lot of knowledge about these parallel worlds
right.
that the characters exist in. And the only reason I've been able to watch it is because my son has read all the books, and so I constantly pepper him with questions like, who's that? Why is he like that? Why is she there? Is that her dad? What's going on? So it's mainly set in this alternate world where all humans have an animal companion. It's like an external soul, and these are called demons. And when you're a kid, your demon sort of changes depending on what you're doing or what your mood is. But then when you hit puberty, it settles on one animal. It's a really lovely element to it. And the main character is a girl called Lyra. She's an orphan, and she ends up being taken in by a strange woman who turns out to be quite evil. She's got a fairly evil monkey demon. And then she finds out that lots of kids have been kidnapped and she has to try and help find them. You know, nice idea, but there's all these quite complex other layers to it, like that this world is effectively run by a kind of a church, a little bit like the Catholic Church. And so there's lots of men in long dresses with lots of power. And Philip Pullman has been known to have, you know, been deliberately criticising the power of the church and so on. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend this for people with teenagers who have read the books and watch it with them so that they can tell you what the heck's going on.
Men in long dresses with too much power, eh?
That's right. But this brings me to, you know, I think possibly one of the greatest shows that's on free-to-air television at the moment, and
yes.
that is The Chase.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you laugh at me.
So popular, eh?
Well, I just thought nothing of it. I thought, look, anything that's on before 6 p.m., it's on at 5 o'clock, it must be rubbish, you know. My mother was like, I've been watching The Chase, the show is really good. And I was like, yeah. And then you know how you get sick and you're home all day. And so you're homesick, and I started watching it. And I naturally got quite addicted. So this is a TV quiz game show. The contestants compete against these quiz masters called chasers, and they usually lose because the quiz masters are amazing. It's on at 5 o'clock every weekday on TV1. And every week a group of four contestants has to go through a series of question segments.
Every week or every day?
Every day, sorry.
Right, yeah.
And that those that remain, so some of them get knocked out. Sometimes all four of them get to compete in the final challenge, but often it's only one or two. And they get a final challenge against the chaser. And the chasers have all these great nicknames. The Beast, the Dark Destroyer, the Governess, the Cinnamon and Sinner Man, and the Vixen. And I think the reason it works so well is because Bradley Walsh, who's the host, you may remember him from Coronation Street. He played Danny Baldwin. He's so funny and so likable.
Oh, yeah.
He teases his contestants in a loving way, but a very familiar way.
Mm.
And he keeps the show rocking along, and he's just got such a great sense of humour. And the Chasers also ham themselves up. So they play their roles with great glee, and they strike that perfect balance of superiority and kindness. So they are challenging, you know, these regular people who are trying to beat them in these quizzes, and they just say, well, you know, I expect you'll give me a good run for my money, but, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, you're never going to beat me. I'm so much more smart than you.
Is it a bit of panto? I mean, that's quite English, isn't it?
A little bit, but not over the top, just more, it's kind of everything's got a grin. They play it straight, but they're really just enjoying it. But they also desperately want to win. I mean, the Chasers are really cross with themselves if they don't win.
I'm just imagining what it would be like if it was a US show. Like, you know what I mean? It sounds quite delightfully British.
I can't see it working as anything other than British.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if you've ever joined a quiz team, but there are always someone in your, you know, in your quiz night, there's always somebody like that who's really, really good and wins everything and is really smart and then just, like, kicks themselves if they missed one.
Yeah.
And will go on and on about it. Well, those are these people. Those are the Chasers.
That's The Chase on TVNZ, 5 p.m. His Dark Materials before that on Neon. And the first one someone's asking for the name of, which I should have repeated. It's called You on Netflix. I don't think I've heard of that one before. Has it not become particularly famous?
I think it's relatively well known. Lots of people have seen it. It has got a younger cast. Like, most of the cast would be under 30, over 20, you know, in their 20s. And it is, it's nicely done. It's like a psychological thriller, so it's not over the top. There's no giant landscapes. It's fairly insular, but quite fascinating.
Do you know the two shows that keep coming up this summer? You know, the barbecue shows, have you been watching? So have you been watching The Morning Show, Caitlin?
No.
You have to watch that immediately.
Yes, I will, but I don't have that streaming service at this stage.
No, here's what you do. I think I'm allowed to say this. You get two episodes for free. Everyone gets two episodes for free. And then you sign up to Apple TV for a 7-day trial and you've just got to squeeze those 8 episodes into the 7 days and then you're out.
Okay.
Now, I forgot to cancel my subscription and now I've got to live with it for a month, and I suspect pretty much everyone else does the same thing. But if you're religious, you can do it for free.
It's a little bit like ordering the CDs or the DVDs and you get 3 and then you supposedly cancel it, but then you just get years worth of DVDs that you keep paying for. I'm talking about back in the 90s.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, and the other one is Don't Mess With Cats. Have you watched that one on Netflix?
I have not.
Oh, that's a documentary about a killer, an internet killer, and how internet nerds managed to identify him. So that's my little recommendation.
Excellent. I shall watch them next.
Thanks. Caitlin Cherry talking TV.